Blog Talk Radio.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down upon cleansing from sin, I cried. There to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. But keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. Now I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, I'm singing glory to His name. We keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. The precious fountain that saved from sin. I am so glad I have been put in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory to His name. We'll keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. Now come to the fountains, O river, sweet. Is thy person at Savior, and be made complete. I'm singing glory to His name. We'll keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. Oh, dear to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. I keep singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of blood. I'm singing glory to His name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mark speaking with the Golgotha Church of Christ here on Sunday evening for our evening worship. Praise God, somebody. And we're also broadcasting live on our Blog Talk Radio show, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. So I want to say good evening to those of you, or good morning to those of you in Canada, those of you that are in the United Kingdom, those of you that are in Norway, as well as the continental United States. And if you want to call in, you can reach us at 619-924-0767, 619-924-0767, and we can talk with you, take your prayer requests, and et cetera. any comments you may have about the lesson today. All right. Sing a few more songs, and then we will get started with our invocation. I see you, Lord, as you logged on. Praise God for you. Victory in Jesus. I've heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me and led me with his redeeming blood. Ah, thank you. He let me in, I knew him, and now my love is to him. He blessed me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about his healing, and with cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then he cried to Jesus, come here, my broken spirit, and I've been obeyed it. Bless command and gain the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever he sought me and met me with his redeeming blood. He led me up, I knew him, and now my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flesh. And I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing a fair song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever he sought me and he met me with his redeeming blood. He led me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. And he blessed me to victory beneath the crimson flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever he sought me and he met me with his redeeming blood. He led me, I knew him. Excuse me. And all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. We're going to sing one more song, and then we will get to our prayer request. Giving God all honor and praise today, invocation, and then we will prepare ourselves for communion. The golden crown. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you labor striving for the right, well, you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown when the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now be not like the foolish Persians did, for he's coming, and you know not when. song, crimson burning bright. Then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now if at last I hold out to the end, Jesus is an everlasting friend. If I stay with in the church you founded, I shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now if you fight that good old fight of faith and with patience run the race, when you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Again, now if you fight that good old fight of faith and with patience run the race, when you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. Oh, I shall wear a golden crown. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Kind, merciful Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you today thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you, Father, for who you are and what you do in our lives. Thanking you, Father, for loving us in the manner in which you do and strengthening us in the manner in which you do. For God, you are an awesome God, for besides you, there is no other. We need you, Father. We need you more than we would ever understand. And we're so thankful that you're there even when we don't even ask. We're thankful that you're there even when we think we can handle it ourselves. Father, we know that you are the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. And we're just so thankful that we have the opportunity to be your children, even on today. Father, we just ask you to continue to share grace and mercy with us. Continue to hang in there and give us that strength that labors and gives us the ability to continue to hold on in times of difficulty. Father, we love you. We adore you on this day. Coming to you in regards to special prayer requests. Ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in ways you know we really stand in need of. And a special prayer request for my brother from another mother, D.C. Williams, who just recently had surgery on his shoulder, Father. It's such a blessing that Dr. Shaw said that after the surgery, he was strong enough to be able to still go home on that day, Father. But we're praying that the next 6 weeks or whatever the recovery time will be before he's able to start great movement and therapy will be one of a process and progress and not one of setback and difficulties. Father, keep his head strong. Keep his mind strong. Keep him in the book and send him with you. Be with his wife, Tonya, Father. Strengthen her and bless her as she continues to care for him. And all those, we're thanking you for the doctors, thanking you for everything as well. We're praying for his mother, praying for the family in general, praying for the congregation there, Shell, tonight. Continue to bless them and keep them, and they will be a support system for him. Now, Father, as we continue to go into tonight's lesson, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you to correct us from a wrong, build us up when we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And if there's anybody today, Father, under the sound of my voice, that feels insignificant, let them know that they can rely on you and that you put you significance where there has been no significance. Father, we love you and we thank you. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again as we prepare for the communion. On a hillside, so lonely, little Jesus, one day, soul wounded and weary, he went there to pray. My friends there, forsaken, so lonely, he fears. To heaven, he's crying in helpless appeals. But a golden day has broken in old Gethsemane. The morning bell comes singing the songs of victory. There's a new highway to glory, the road that Jesus trod. With the halo, we're traveling the pathway to God. Amen. We find in Acts 27, it was upon the first day of the week, that the disciples came together to break bread. And we know that Apostle Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. Saying, for I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he had supped, said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Then let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Let's give thanks for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body. And we thank you for this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart, and we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Christ Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. You may now take of the bread and the wine. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Amen. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, if you would turn with me today as we prepare for the Word of God to the book of James. If you turn with me to the book of James, and we're asking for you to take a look at the 12th verse. Now I'm going to start reading from verse 3 down. But our focus today will be on verse number 12. Amen? Get a drink of water here. We started this week, this text a few weeks ago. We'd like to continue to take a look at portions of it. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Consider it great joy, my brothers, when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Amen, somebody. Verse 5, now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9, the brother of humble circumstances should boast in his exaltation. But the one who is rich should boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flowers fall off, and its beautiful appearance is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will wither away while pursuing his activities. Verse 12, a man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Again, our focus today is on verse number 12. A man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. If I had a subject to give you today, it would be, do you want to be blessed? How bad do you want to be blessed? When we sit back and think about life, life happens. I don't know about you, but in 54 years, I've been on a roller coaster of great things and also difficult situations. There were things that I didn't want to experience that I thought was I was being treated wrongly for, until I understand that it was character building and it was a test that I had to go through. And so as I get older, it seems that I'm starting to learn how to rejoice in the trials that I've had. Because I said, I always had that mindset. And amen, somebody. I'm sure you would say the same, that things that are difficult sometimes are not what you want to deal with, because they're timing in what you have pursued it to be. But a trial is just that. It is something that is going to test your patience, going to really push you to see what you're made of. The problem is that many of us faint in the midst of the trial, so therefore we can never claim victory. And God has never lost a case. So if you faint in the middle of your trial,
If you throw in the towel in the middle of your trial, I see Amari Williams, if you give up in the middle of your trial, then you've really given up on God's ability, on God's strength to be able to carry you through and take you and make you victorious. You will cross the finish line with the Lord. But the problem is, many of us have allowed weakness to overcome us. And when we get weak, we're not able to stand. Rather than learning how to be meek, for the meek shall inherit the earth, we have allowed weakness to neutralize us in a super figures type of way. It's like kryptonite next to Superman. He is a man of steel that has the ability to jump over tall buildings with a single bound, that has the ability to accomplish great things and help so many people. That he's been looked on by a community as someone they can count on in difficult times. Why do I say that? Because many times we too have built up somewhat of a reputation or somewhat of a mindset amongst the people that we serve when we're around that they can count on you. But many times, it's that kryptonite of sin that weakens us. The mindset that we've allowed to creep in that weakens us. It keeps us from being able to handle the strength of the situation. So we crumble. We throw away the white flag. We quit. We walk away. We never smell victory. See, when you smell victory, there's something about winning that you want to win again. Try soul winning. Try going out and helping someone become a member of the body of Christ. And once you've been a part of that, God gives the conversion and the increase. But once you can see that, then it should encourage you and also give you more hunger to want to help someone else. Why? Because someone helped you. Think about what you're good at. Think about what your talent is, what you've developed over time. It's either been through schooling, the school of hard knocks, or even through hard learning, higher learning. It could be on grandmama's knee, you know, that you messed up them pancakes all them years, and now you've got them down to perfection. You matured in the process where people can actually eat the food rather than pass them to the dog under the table. You've graduated. You've learned how to do and put things together. Why? Because experience cannot be bought at the euros, praise God for you, cannot be bought at the local grocery store or the local dime store. You can't go to Jewel's or to Walgreens and ask for a bag or a bottle of experience and be able to receive that, and now all of a sudden I'm more wiser. You have to go through the situation that God has given for you and not think so that you can learn. And if I say it again, God's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about our character. He's saying a child of God should have a character that resembles, that mirrors God. Last week I gave you an illustration about Lake Michigan. And we talked about the fact that the water of Lake Michigan, when you see it serene and when it's nice and calm sky, and it looks like it's cold out there, because there is no turbulence, there's no clouds, there's no nothing in the air, you have nothing but the firmament is clear blue sky. And so when you look at the water is a mirror image of what it sees from above. Amen, somebody. If we are testing, if we are from above, I see you, Mom. Good to see you. If we are really a mirror image of God who is above, then we need to have the character that God has. What are you saying? I'm saying that when it gets cloudy, when you notice that the waves are starting to grow, when the water now starts to look brown and grayish and foamy, Take a look at the sky and what it means off of, and you will get a chance to see where the source is coming from. A storm is coming. And depending on the nature of it, or the darkness of the cloud, or how much it's carried, will determine how dark the water will be, or how rough the storm will be. When you speak of everything, affects itself in relative relationship. But when it's clear, it mirrors above. Who's your daddy? Do you mirror, does your life mirror a life with Jesus? A life of God? A life of loving? A life of encouraging? A life of helping people? In spite of those who back down or don't want to politically allow you to move, has your life been centered in sacrificing for others? Or has your life been centered in keeping folks from seeing God? Who's your dad? James 1, 12 says, a man who endures trials. So you have to learn how to endure. And endurance comes with time. That don't mean it's not going to cause you to sweat. That don't mean it's not going to cause you to cry. That don't mean it's not going to cause you to pull your hair. It's not going to cause you to exacerbate some strength and some restraint. That don't mean it's not going to cause you to have anxiety. But what it does do, it says, I'm hanging in there in spite of. When everyone else falls, I'm still moving towards my goal. I will not fall out. I will not give up. I will continue to give my trust in God because God has a plan for my life. You have hope when no one else has. They may be running and fall, but you're still crawling towards your goal. A man who endures trials is blessed. And I want you to understand today the word blessed, materials, same word used in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, is not a word that means you to be happy. Because many trials will not make you happy. Many situations you're going through will wipe that smile off your face and have your grit. Why? Because you're doing some weight lifting. Many times you have to wait, you have to lift weight that's heavier than you. You ain't grinning. You're straining. But guess what? If God is your spotter, you'll get the job done. Look at what it says. A man who endures trials is blessed. Why is he blessed, Lord? Well, let's find out. Keep reading. Because when he passes the test, hold on now, meaning that your blessings fall short when you fail the test. Your blessings fall short when you run from the test. But when you pass the test, you will receive reward. And reward is balance. Because balance brings reward. Look at it. See, notice what it says. When he passes the test, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. How's your love for God? See, that is, it's challenged every time you face a trial. Really, the trial that's been allowed to come your way is God saying, how much did you love me? And you facing the trial, standing head up versus running back, determines where you're at with God. And many of us have to work, come on somebody, many of us have to work on our relationship with the Lord. I see you, John Marshall. Praise God for you, Doc. And so what we need to do is understand that we serve a God that's better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. And he said, if you can make it through a trial, you are blessed. But notice, you ain't made it through on your own. You're making it through with God. A man who endures trials is blessed because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. How's your love for the Lord today? Why a trial? Well, see, what a trial does, a trial helps our perseverance. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hang on 1 second here. I just ran by a little. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35. Pages are sticking here. There we go. Hebrews chapter 10. Bible says, so don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need what? Endurance. So that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. See, God rewards you every time you do God's will. You receive a reward, a bonus from the Lord every time you do his will. See, so our perseverance, our ability to endure comes with receiving the reward at the end. So, number one, the trial helps our perseverance. Number two, God uses trials to make you and I more humble. Come on, somebody. God uses trials to make you and I more humble. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 12. We'll find that the Bible says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. I don't care how proud you are. If you don't find no humility, if God may use a trial to break you down so he can build you up, honor will never be yours. So God uses trials to help make us more humble. Amen, somebody. And the third thing, why trial? And not only does it help our perseverance, Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Not only is God helping to make me humble, Proverbs 18, 12, but it helps me and it helps you, it helps us to become more dependent on the Lord. Oh, yes, you need to be more dependent on God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, but he said to me, what he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. When I find myself weak, it's an opportunity that God uses to mature my power. I receive more power when I understand God's grace in my life and I allow God to perfect me, God to mature me, God to develop me so that my weakness becomes meekness. What are you saying? Let us depend on everything else Now, all we need is God's grace. Because with God's grace, he automatically gives you mercy. I should have been dead, but God gave me grace. God gave me mercy. Because of how he feels about me, I'm still alive. God says my grace is sufficient for you. How many of us can really understand that when we feel like we're up against the wall, like a rat punched in the corner, ready to come out fighting, that all we can recognize is that God's grace is sufficient for our lives. It helps us to depend more on God. Well, it poses the question, Brother Teacher, why should I depend on God? I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm so glad you asked that question because depending on God means that you must trust in God. And trusting in God becomes easier the way you walk with God. See, as we depend on God, you want to depend on God because when you pray to God, you want him to answer your prayer. But the question is, can God depend on you? When God sends you an answer, he tells you here in the scriptures, you're blessed when you endure trial. When you make it to the end, next time you run up against something, you don't run away, you run through. You allow God to carry you over the hurdle. You allow God to help push you through the situation. Why? Because he's building your character up. And you're showing how much you love him. And you're showing how much you depend on him. Because dependency increases our trust in God. The word trust is a five-letter word. It comes with a five-letter acronym. The first T in trust stands for thanks. You and I need to learn more about how we need to thank God for the things he's already done in our lives, in the past, in the present. You need my will, God, thank him for what he's already got planned for you in the future. Because if God is a victor and he wants to make you more than a conqueror, you have to start seeing yourself as a victor and a more than a conqueror. But when you're not a soldier for the Lord, that's why you lose your battle. You don't have on the whole armor of God. Right? So learn how to give thanks. Thank God for the things he's already done. The R in trust means that you're willing to repent. Say that you're sorry to God for intentionally allowing things into your life and into your heart that you know literally disappoints God. He intentionally allows in, but he never disappoints God. That sounds like an oxymoron for a child of God. But let's tell the truth, it's happened. Many of us have had great errors in our head. Many of us have different cases and situations in our lives. Many of us have come up with different problems and lumps in our teeth. Why? Because we have allowed things into our heart, allowed things into our mind, allowed things into our life, allowed people into our life that we know God's not pleased with. And it's time to get serious about our relationship because God's serious about taking you to heaven. If you ain't serious about your relationship with God, then heaven can't be your home. So T is for trust, R is for repent. The U is for unify. We must unify. That's restoration. Learn how to restore broken relationships if it is possible. And if it's not possible, so God likes unity, he don't like confusion. If it's not possible, just give it over to God and let go. Quit holding on to a rattlesnake at the end. Let God handle that burger bag. Let God deal with that situation. Let God deal with that boss. Let God deal with that husband or that spouse. and let go and let go of the situation and go to make it happen. Unify. Work on relationships. Restore your relationships if it is possible. But if it's not, give it to God. Because when you give it over to God, I mean, you really let go and let God in your life. God's going to make you feel whole, even if the other party don't do their part. Amen, somebody. I know what I'm talking about here. The S in trust stands for share. And we need to learn how to share more. Sharing is giving. Sharing is caring. Share your journey about difficult times and difficult situations that you've had in your life with a friend or someone or even a stranger that is seeking God. Be a mentor. Talk to someone that's younger than you or even older than you, someone that could have gone through the same thing. Share God in your life, how God has carried you over, that God is your bridge over troubled water, that God will take you where you cannot go, that God will allow you to make it. That your situation is just like Moses. When he had the weight of the people on his back, he had led them out of Egypt in the wilderness, and he finds himself at the end of the Red Sea. He has nothing but Pharaoh's soldiers behind him coming at him. He's in trouble. He has mountains on one side, another. He's in trouble. He has nothing but water in front of him. He's in trouble. There's nothing for him to do but to faint and to fall off. And Moses says, "Stand back and see the salvation of God." See, when you have a relationship with God, when you have been penetrated by God, when God is greater in you than he is in the world, then you will do things that God will have you to do. You need to learn how to tell your situation. You need to learn how to tell that book of that. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Share your victories with others. So people like success stories. People like winners. When God has won the championship, he has just in the game. Amen. And the last key, and this lesson will be yours, stands for taking time. We need to take time and spend more time with God. Allow God to refresh you. Allow God to energize you. Allow God to soothe you. We need God's counsel. We need the measure of God in our life. God will refresh you beyond what you can even imagine. What are you saying? God is awesome. He's so awesome that he's mind-blowing. And God will blow your mind if you allow him in your mind. See, the problem is we've given up a piece of our mind. If you keep giving away a piece of your mind, there will be no pieces left, and there will be no mind left. That's why you have no peace in your life. But if you give the P-E-A-C-E, have the peace of God, and quit giving away the P-I-E-C-E, a piece of your mind, you take the peace of God, and you can't have the peace of God till you are at peace with God. Well, you have to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God will help you through your trials. God will take you through your trials. Matter of fact, God will build you up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that in the midst of a fiery furnace, you won't even be smelling like smoke. People will, the onlookers will look in. Those that have set a trap for you will take a look at what they have set for you, and they will see not only you, but they'll see the Son of God with you. Do people know that you have been with the Lord? Do you have a godly glow about you? Do you have a godly energize about you? Or as well as me, your whole course of discourse. My hope and trust and pray that whatever it's been, that you'll take it to another level. You'll turn it up another notch with God. God wants to take you higher. He wants to put you on the elevator and the escalator of love and lift you to the next level. God never takes you down. God always lifts you up. Amen, somebody. If you want to go to another level with the Lord, learn how to trust him. Learn how to depend on him. Learn how to have the trials of life. For a man who endures trials, James says, is blessed because when he passes the test, and with God, you will pass the test. When he passes the test, you will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. If you're here today and you need to talk, you want to talk to someone, call in at 619-924-0767 right now. I'll talk with you. We'll talk more about what we're doing here. But if you need prayer and you're on Facebook Live, you can type it in. I see you, Riley James. Praise God. If you need prayer and you know, or something's going on in your life, you've been dealing with something, you're prepared to sit, we're here for you. God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do I come to God, brother preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question. Every dusty-eyed man that's a graveyard traveler trying to make it heaven their home since 33 A.D. must follow the same plan. I know you want to do it originally. I know you want to have your own way. I know you want to do it. No, you must do it God's way because God established it and he placed them in the holding bin. Much like Noah, the those that God saved, 8 souls were in the ark. And the purpose of the ark, that big boat, was not something conventionally shiny. It was a big box that was to hold people and keep people safe in the midst of the storm. That's the purpose of the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. Who belongs to? It belongs to Jesus. And what's the truth? The bedrock truth that he is the Son of God. So Peter, flesh and blood, they reveal this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So and I also say to you today that thou art Peter. You are Petros, not Petra. You are Peter. And upon this bedrock truth, this Petra, I will build my church, my ecclesia. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the gates of Sheol will not prevail against it. So I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall already been loosed in heaven. That means you don't have the power to make the decisions. God has already sanctioned it, and I'll give you the key to execute what God has put in your mind. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. You don't do it by your power, you do it by God's power. Amen, somebody. So, in Acts 2, we find that on the day of Pentecost, Peter exercised the key. And key literally means the lock somewhere. So, he used the gospel, the good news, about a man that died for your soul and your sin to save everybody. And in Acts 2:36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you have crucified is now both Lord and Christ. Same Jesus. Okay, what you believe before, I don't care what dispensation you were under, the same Jesus who you crucified is now both Lord and Christ. He's Adonai, and he is the long way the Messiah. When they heard this, they were cut, they were pricked in their heart. Their minds was messed up, pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brothers, what shall we do? That professing, that confessing, what shall we do? Is there nothing else to do? God loves you so much that he already gave you an escape plan before you were even born. Peter said, God's love is there. He said, repent, turn to God, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. That's the call. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. I see your sister Turner. Hey, how you doing? She's there. What's going on, my brother? God loves us so much that he died for us so that we don't have to go to hell. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he did not send his Son into the world because he had nothing better to do. He sent his Son into the world so that those that are in the world can go to heaven with him. Do you want to go to heaven? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Are you willing? Hearing God's word, Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe. Believe God's word. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It must cause you to repent. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, except you turn to God, you will all likewise perish. It must cause you to confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denied me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. The only attorney that's going to be on the risk to help your case on the day of judgment is Jesus, who's never lost the case. God ain't going to hear from no one else. And if you don't have Christ as your attorney, you're in trouble. Heaven will not be your home. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sin, carrying it unto salvation, but it don't put you into salvation. Believing it unto salvation, but it don't put you into salvation. Confession. Repentance is unto salvation, but it don't put you into salvation. And confession is unto salvation, it don't put you into salvation. You must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Baptism does now save us. Peter says it right there in the text, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the call, for the remission of your sin, for the blotting out of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of folks running around here talking about, I got the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit works in conversion. But you don't have the Holy Spirit until you are converted, to after you have been baptized for the remission of your sin, and God gives you a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, a free gift given to you. Promises unto you and to your children. To all that are far off, even the men of the Lord our God shall call themselves. Paul says in Romans 6:3-4, know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death, I'm getting too excited, that like as Christ was buried by the Father, even so we all can walk in the newness of life. You can't have that new life wearing the same old clothes. There's some things you need to take off and some new stuff you need to put on. Amen, somebody. And then you need to, if you don't want to listen to Peter, you want to listen to Paul, hear Christ, hear Jesus himself. In Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We want to do all the other stuff. We want to dance and shout and whatsoever else and say that we have to, but you ain't obeyed the gospel call up front. That's like a person learning a new language. I'm studying Hebrew right now. And the first thing we do, just like any other language, you must learn your letters. You must learn your vowels. And then you learn how to put letters and vowels together to make words. Once you're able to make words, then you have to learn meaning of the words, and you're able to start to read for yourself once you've learned the alphabet. Once you follow the five steps, and become a child of God, now you must live faithful unto death to receive the crown of life, that reward that fate is not away. But you don't have your ticket punched if you won't obey God. It's up to you. It's up to you. I wouldn't live another day without God. I wouldn't want to live another minute without God. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I tell you what, it's going to be better and it's going to be a lot easier when you take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul. Guaranteed. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're here today and you need some encouragement, call in. 619-924-0767. Type in. We'll talk with you. We'll sing one song, and then this lesson will be yours. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eye that I might see. Oh, your goodness, your grace and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. And keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with thee. When I'm worried, soothe my mind. Let me sweet contentment find. May I run this wicked race, filled by your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, comfort me. Now, Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed, and in God's bosom lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place and see my blessed Savior's face. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, rescue me. I see you, Brother Willie Gray. Still holding on, my brother. House things in Denver. If you need more time, call me. We're here for you. I want you to have the truth, for the truth sets you free. You can't make a right decision without the truth. And I guarantee you, I don't know all the answers, but I know where they are. I know where they're at, and we'll go find them together. Have a great evening. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If this ministry is helping you and you want to donate, want to help us to continue to further it on, go to our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. G-O-L-G-O-T-H-A, churchofchrist.com. And there's a donation tab. You can make a love offering or a tithe offering. Just follow accordingly. If you want to do it any other way, just hit me up on Facebook. I'll contact you. We'll get in touch and we'll figure it out. But you can't beat God given. God tells us here in the 12th verse, a man who endures trial is blessed. And because when he passes the test, he will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love him today? How blessed are you? Have a great evening. Do something for somebody else that they can't repay you for. Give Jesus Christ's name crucified. I see you on Sunday, McClendon. God to see you. Good to see you guys. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. See you soon. Good night.